Arizona's news station, KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Count me as one that kind of rolls their eyes when I hear, especially politicians, talk about the middle class. We're fighting for the middle class. Because when you take a look at the parameters, damn near everybody is middle class. And it's kind of become a catch-all phrase. Let me give you an example of it. That according to some of the metrics we use, if you make $37,000 a year household or $147,000, you're both in the middle class.
And you're both living decidedly different lives.
I was going to say, we can $37,000 a year and $147,000 a year, you're probably not in the same neighborhood, but you're all middle class. But we are finding that as much as you want to roll your eyes at who constitutes the middle class these days, that we're pretty agreed on what it means to be middle class, even if that definition is changing a little bit.
I don't understand. What do you mean?
So there are, they term them cultural markers.
Like?
Education. The middle class are educated.
Like college education.
Well, it used to be at least a high school education, and then it went to, a college education put you firmly in the middle class.
Okay.
Do you see what I'm saying? Yesterday, we had some conversations about what constituted the average American family. You know, mom, dad, kids,
dog,
in a house.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And that used to be a definition of middle class.
Sure. You owned a home.
Got
married.
Renting can still put you well into the middle class. Not being married, living as a couple still. So the definitions are changing under this umbrella we call middle class.
Well, is that because, our communities are changing.
And our economy is changing. You know, one of the arguments they made is that to be in the middle class, if you go back in the way back machine, you work. That was where the white collar workers. Those were the office jobs for middle class. And your blue collar workers, those that worked with their hands, were just below the middle class, honestly. Well, you had things like, their argument is, labor unions came along.
Uh-huh.
Your dad probably was a beneficiary of that, working in a steel mill where he made a pretty good living, right?
Yeah, he actually made a really good living, and we talked about it as I got older, because as I got older, you know, I had this image of what a factory worker made.
Sure.
And it wasn't something that put you in the middle class.
No.
But it did back then. We were in the 80s. My dad worked for a steel mill in Pennsylvania, in Pittsburgh, and microwaves just kind of came, you know, on the market, so to speak. And we know that when any new technology comes on the market, it's super expensive. Remember computers when they first came on the market?
Big flat screen TVs.
Right, exactly. And microwaves were super expensive.
Oh,
but my dad, working in the mill, could pick up a couple of extra shifts, work some overtime, and mom had a microwave.
Ta-da!
You could make it happen. It was really good money.
Well, we also look at things like when you talk about the middle class, and again, sadly, we've changed it to everybody's in it, that you could pay for your kids' education, maybe on your own. That's certainly changed.
Yeah.
Most middle class families are going to need some help to pay for an education. Most.
Sure. So again, you know, kind of looking at it through my filter, because our family was middle class or is middle class, and so am I. But I would say that growing up, we kind of went from the low end of middle class to kind of like middle class. Because
Well, when the middle class is $37,000 to $147,000, you're going to have some markers in the middle.
Exactly. I mean, there was a period of time where we got free cheese from the church and had labels off of cans and got those for a discount, and we were still in the middle class. Dad went back, got his education, and then got like a white collar job. So we kind of moved up through that middle class. But my parents helped me pay for college. I still took on some student loans, but they helped me pay for college. So I came out with like, you know, 20, 25 grand. Nowadays, even if parents are helping their kids with their education, maybe putting some money away in a 529 plan, those kids are still coming out with 40, 50 on the low end, and you get like the $80,000 in student loans on the high end, which then prevents them from hitting those middle class benchmarks. They may have the benchmark of a college education, but are they hitting the benchmark of getting married?
Yeah.
Are they hitting the benchmark of owning a home? And it also becomes is that the benchmark they want to reach? Because I know a lot of young people that have no plans to get married or have no plans to purchase a home.
I think one of the interesting things and one of the things I took from this, so this is not meant to be a political discussion because, again, I think, what is it now? There's 22 people running for president right now.
On the Democratic side, yeah.
Plus two on the Republican, 24, okay? Yeah. And every single one of them, without fail, we'll talk about the middle class.
Yes, of course.
Because that's everybody.
Everybody.
If you're not flying around in a private jet or living under a overpass off the
I-10,
you're in the middle class. Okay?
They're talking to you.
Exactly. Whether you know it or not. But this was interesting that if you go back to when your dad and my dad were both working dads, that it was the middle class was a pass-through. You went from one economic strata, and you moved into the middle class, and then you worked hard, you moved out of the middle class. I mean, there was a place you went through. The new numbers out there, and again, not meant to be a political show, that if you're in the middle class right now, the chances are you'll remain in there. You won't be able to break out of this. Conversely, if you're not in it, it's much harder to get into, much harder to jump into the middle class.
See, I don't know if I agree with that.
Okay.
In fact, at first blush, I don't. Because when you're talking on the low end, 40 grand, and you're talking on the high end, 150.
Sounds easy to get into.
I'm not even saying easy, but like my family, again, just running through my filter, we were on the low end of the middle class, and then we got to the upper end of the middle class, but we never got out of the middle class, so to speak. Does that make sense?
Sure.
And so I think that that has happened before. But I think that's happened in generations past. I don't see how it's unique right now.
Here's if you want to go back to what's unique was that the middle class was not a bunch of college-educated people.
Those were the olden days.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And
as people got
college degrees, the 70s and maybe in the into the 80s, it helped propel them out of the middle class. Now, that's not going to get you out of the middle class. Having a college degree is going to make you just like everyone else.
That's interesting because neither one of my parents have a college degree.
As an example.
So they lower middle to upper middle,
right?
But they stayed in the middle.
But a college degree in the 70s would have moved, what they're arguing
upper
is,
class.
Would have pushed you out of that. And you'd have been the boss at the steel mill, not one of the worker bees.
Okay, but when you talk about being the boss,
that
is one reason why they say this, well, middle class has changed, it really hasn't. Compensation for CEOs has really gone through the roof.
Sure.
If you go back to the 70s when, you'd have to have a college degree, obviously to be a CEO, the chief executive made about 20 times what the average worker did.
20. Got
okay?
It. Yeah.
Fast forward to 2015.
Oh boy.
They're not making 300 times.
Yeah.
So you're starting to get that inequality.
This is that income gap or that wealth gap that, again, you hear politicians chiming in about. It is real. It's there.
It's real. And we don't have to even look at like the corner office versus somebody down on the factory floor. Let's just look at like our average income because the recession hurt all of us. And we're still digging out of the hole that was created there because in the early 2000s, The median income was right around 78 grand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fast forward to 2016. Guess what? The median income is right around 78 grand.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're not getting ahead. Now, here's the deal.
Well, and everything around you costs more.
I was going to say, has the average
the
home price stayed the same since the year 2000?
Gasoline, milk,
food,
anything,
all of those things. So the cost of goods is going up. Meanwhile, our paycheck is staying stagnant. And it's having that negative impact.
Yeah, I think it is disingenuous on a certain level when people start talking about the middle class because, like we see here, when you look at the definition, which could be, again, I'm an average, a low of a 40 grand a year all the way up to 150 grand a year, those are decidedly not the same economic class, and you could argue social class of people. That's not the same folks, but we all lump them all together.
Yeah, and again, looking back at my parents, they wanted my sister and I both to get a college education.
Have a better life!
Because that was the ticket out.
Move up.
Right?
Yeah.
And while we're doing just fine for ourselves, that's not the ticket out
Not today.
For everybody.
No, and, and it's changed. And maybe that, that college education is the minimum requirement to stay in the middle class. Okay, so now,
that changed
things. Now what is it to move up? Do you see what I'm saying? And they're saying it's harder and harder to make that, that break. We've got a check of the headlines on the way. And then I mean, it's certainly sad. I understand there's some salaciousness to it. But what a bizarre story about the man arrested in Arizona with his deceased wife in the car. We've got more on that story.
Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes. Crazy AZ. The absurd Arizona stories that make you wonder, is too much sunshine a bad thing after all?
If I were insensitive, if I were the type to make fun of tragedy and loss, I could say that the Oklahoma man who was pulled over at a traffic stop here in Arizona with his deceased wife in the passenger seat would be akin to National Lampoon Vacation, where we were on our way to Wally World. Grandma died. We didn't want to miss the vacation. We strapped her to the roof. It's not that far off of it, apparently. That's the insensitive me. The sensitive me says, oh my God, how is a 70-year-old man pulled over in Eloy with his 74-year-old deceased wife in the passenger seat?
Yeah, we you know, we started hearing about this story yesterday, and you and I discussed it, and we're like, what do we do with this? You know, is there dementia involved? Yeah. Did he kill her? We don't know.
Right,
exactly.
We don't know.
And then we're starting to find out more about this case. So apparently police were tipped off about what was happening in this car by a drive-through worker at Carl's Jr.
Okay.
Here is that worker at Carl's Jr. talking to our TV partners over at ABC 15.
How did they notice this?
That's when I seen, you know, he had the lady in there. She was like completely naked, and the way she was face down, like laying down, and then I seen like her color of her feet were like, you know, like purple.
Okay, so let's back up there a second.
Okay, so
You're working the drive-thru at Carl's Jr. You go to hand out your drink to the people in the car. You find the guy driving the car, 70-year-old, sitting around in his underwear.
He's in his undies.
Super weird. But not as weird as what's happening in the passenger seat. You have a naked woman who's 74 years old with her head on the floor where your feet would be.
So she's upside down in the seat.
And her feet up on the headrest.
Okay.
And her feet are purple.
Oh, my God.
You call police, or is what you do, and that's exactly what this woman had done.
Mr. Puckett was driving from Oklahoma to California. It described it apparently to police that they were on a trip to California, that his wife died in Texas during the trip. And he just decided to keep going with the trip and put her in the car.
So then you have police that have gotten
in touch
with the hotel in El Paso.
Got it.
They apparently have gotten the hotel footage.
They had the video. Got it.
Surveillance. Sure. It's everywhere. And there's video of him wheeling her out of the room on a luggage cart.
No, there isn't. Okay, now it just turned into Weekend at Bernie's.
And as you dive a little bit deeper into the story.
I don't want to.
Will you find out?
I don't like it. I don't like where any of this is headed.
That she filed for divorce.
Okay.
So there was an order of protection against him.
Ooh.
That the coroner says that there was mild blunt force trauma.
70 and 74 years old, can I point out? Elderly.
They've not determined her exact cause of death. But as you can imagine, Rodney right now is sitting up in jail.
Yeah.
He's been arrested.
He's been charged with abandonment or concealment of a body. That's a thing.
Being held on a $100,000 bond.
Again, it strikes me as National Lampoon Vacation. I'm not gonna ruin the vacation just because you died.
Okay, you say that, but now that you have the other information,
do you think he
of a divorce, of an order of protection? Where was he actually headed? Now, they stopped him in Eloy. Where was he going?
He claims California, and he's on the way, coming from Oklahoma, going through Texas, driving along.
What's he going to do once he gets to California?
I haven't the foggiest. And if he committed a crime, why do you leave the body of your deceased wife naked and upside down in the passenger seat as you drive across country?
In your underwear.
Oh, my God.
Does this count
as crazy AZ? Because I think this actually is Oklahoma.
Yeah, this
I
isn't our fault.
This is most
this
certainly
is
not Arizona's
hey,
fault.
We caught him.
We have shout out to the Carl's Jr. employee yeah. and Pinal County sheriffs who stopped and caught this guy. This should not count as. I want a ruling from the judges. I need a judge's ruling that this doesn't count as crazy AZ. We stopped the crazy. We did not contribute to the crazy of driving across country with your deceased wife in the passenger seat upside down and naked.
And you're in your underwear. You can't leave that part out.
You're really caught up on his underwear.
Well, it's just weird. Who drives around in the... Okay, the
hot,
whole thing is weird.
Hot.
I mean, okay. Yeah, the whole thing is weird. But now that we
There's
know more
funny
about
it. There's a deceased it. Woman in this.
Yeah,
I'm
but now that we know more about it...
It sounds like there could be a crime in the middle of it.
They married in 2011. We're in the process of divorcing. Issue a protective order on February 6th.
Yeah.
It was continued on Monday.
Ooh.
And she filed divorce earlier this year.
Yeah, well... Again, Mr.
Rodney's in some trouble.
He's currently being held in the
rightfully
Pinal
so.
County Jail. He has a lot of splaining to do.
Yeah, we're not claiming him, though.
But not crazy.
No.
Happened in Arizona. We should not get... Let's blame Florida for this. I'm sure Florida would love Rodney. He's their kind of guy. You remember the story a couple months ago about local police who, and this is not an exaggeration, kicked down the door of a home to take a sick child to the hospital. Do you remember that story?
Oh, yeah.
We have some resolution, I think, in it. And the reason why we're just hearing about the resolutions part of the story as well, coming up next.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
It was a story that got national attention because when you say... Police kicked in the door of a home and took a toddler to the hospital for having a fever, and the parents didn't take him to the hospital. I mean, naturally, a lot of people get concerned over this.
Absolutely. The story took place in Chandler earlier this year, or later last year. No,
it was earlier this year.
Yeah, it's already May, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
You have a little boy. Mm-hmm. A toddler who has a fever.
Got it.
Mom takes him to her doctor. Mm-hmm. The doctor says the kid's fever is 105. You need to take him to the emergency room right away. Absolutely.
105. Got it.
As mom leaves the doctor's office, she stops off at a pharmacy somewhere, takes the kid's temperature herself. Uh-huh. The temperature around that time, I want to say, was about 101.
Okay. 100, went down to 101.
101, maybe 102.
Yeah.
And... she calls the doctor back and says, I'm not taking the kid to the ER. Do you want to see him again so that you can see that the temperature's down? The doctor says, no, you have to take that child to the ER. Mom doesn't. Takes the kid home because the temperature's coming down. About midnight that night, there is a knock at the door. And the knock at the door is Chandler police. They want to see the child. They want to check on the child. And they call the father because the dad's not answering the door.
Okay.
My kid's fine. Go away.
Right.
Here's how that body camera footage sounded.
Do you have a warrant to take my kids?
We have DCS here that's going to take temporary custody of your kids if you don't come out and talk to us. You're making this way more worse than it needs to be.
No, my kids are fine.
Brooks,
you guys are
okay.
Making it way worse than this.
Okay, Brooks, if they're fine, then why don't you make this simple and come out and talk to us?
They're not going to force me to go to the hospital, spend $3,000 in an emergency room visit right now.
So that's part of the dad's issue.
There was a money issue.
Well, yeah. And I think a lot of people listening right now can probably empathize with that. Dad said, for me to take my healthy son to the emergency room would have cost $2,500.
Wow.
We don't have $2,500 sitting around to take our healthy son to the hospital.
It seems it's frustrating when you look at this, that there was a lot of misconceptions and assumptions made on a variety of different parties out there, because if the argument is that any child with 101 degree temperature who isn't in an emergency room or a hospital is going to result in the police coming and kicking in the door and taking the child from you, we're going to have a lot of parents with doors kicked in.
But on the flip side of that, the doctor said the fever was 105. You got to go to the hospital at that point. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
And the doctor also created a problem here by not re-examining the kid and instead calling DCS. I blame the doctor for so much of this. Now, Chandler PD and DCS, you know what? They have their own issues with this as well. But the issues may be starting to go away.
Okay.
The reason why we're talking about it right now is because we weren't allowed to talk about it.
That's not an exaggeration.
Judge Timothy Ryan, who has been overseeing this case for the Maricopa County Juvenile Court, has said that the media can't report on this case, has kicked people out of the courtroom.
Kicked reporters out?
For a period of time.
Even though it was public hearings, which is, again, another question, but in effect, a gag order on the media from reporting on this story.
Which I've never heard of before.
That is until yesterday.
Right. But what we're finding out now is that that judge has now granted custody, physical custody, of these kids that were taken away from their parents when the police broke down the door. Yes.
February 25th.
When they broke down the door, they didn't just take the toddler with the fever. They took all three kids.
Took all of them.
And they have been in DCS custody, foster care, for that a period of time. So the kid, you're going to traumatize these children for that by forcibly removing them from their home. That's going to cause a heck of a lot more harm to them.
And therein lies the problem. Listen, we rightfully criticize DCS when there's these horrible examples of, gee, why didn't they step in and do something? Or that this child was being abused, and did they know about it? But it's rightfully, we can rightfully also criticize when you say, you thought this was the best case that you take all of the children out on February 25th. They were returned yesterday. You take all the children out because one of the children had a 101 degree temperature, even though they'd had a higher one earlier, acknowledged, but was at 101, and that we thought the best course of action was to take all the kids out of the house. Really? That's what's best for the children?
You know, and I get that. Again, I blame the doctor in this situation, because if that doctor would have just re-examined the child, we wouldn't be in this situation.
And said the temperature subsided.
But here's the deal. I mean, like,
here's some aspirin.
But think about this, though. If you have a child that has 105 degree fever,
that's life-threatening.
And mom and dad are refusing to take the kid to the hospital.
I think you got an argument.
You got to fight for the kid's life.
Agree.
Okay? So I can see why the doctor may have initially made that determination, but did not re-examine
the kid.
Because the family doesn't have the money laying around to take a kid to an emergency room who doesn't need to be in that emergency room. So many people are in that boat where they don't have an extra $2,500 laying around for an emergency room visit. Now, if the kid needs it, then you know what? I'll pay whatever it takes.
Right.
But if the kid doesn't need it, then I'm not going to pay the money. And then I got police showing up at my door and you take my kids away.
Well, you've had, I'm assuming Riley has had temperatures.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And probably even been at 101. 103.
Yeah.
And again, the police didn't kick in your door. Do you see what I'm saying? They've set a unrealistic standard for when they're going to intervene with children. And it sounds to me like something that could have been very easily corrected. Let's say DCS shows up with Chandler police and they said, all we want to do is know what the temperature of the kid is.
But that would have taken, you would have had to have taken dad's word.
Or would they have been allowed to say, can you show us? Can we take the temperature of the child? And the temperature is 101. We say, nothing to see here, folks. We go home.
Yeah, but
or you
but
could
I
drag
think,
this out over 3 months.
I think that police and DCS were probably a little ticked that dad didn't immediately come to the door and talk with them.
Whose fault is that?
Yeah, but you see, this could have gone drastically different if people made different choices.
Agreed.
If the doctor made different choices and allowed the child to come back to be re-examined, if the dad made a different choice and would have talked to Chandler police, I get dad, you know, going, don't force me to go to the hospital. And that's what he's afraid of.
$2,500.
That's what he's afraid of and why he didn't come to the door.
Bankrupting my family.
DCS saying, well, just let us take the temperature of it. And, you know, if the kid's healthy and fine, then there's nothing else to see here. I think people could have made different decisions all along the road and we would have come up to a very different position.
Knowing all of that, DCS was arguing in court yesterday against returning the children.
Come on, man.
DCS is still arguing, not just the child, the toddler with 101 degree, all of their children, was still arguing yesterday in front of that judge not to return the children.
Unless you have been at that home before and have other cases involving that family, I don't know how you could possibly make that argument.
I'm not going to argue that. We got the story, and this kind of gets into kind of who can you trust anymore? How do you know what's real? There's a guy, there's always a guy, who was driving up and down the 60, pulling people over, impersonating a police officer. Would you know if a real police officer pulled you over? What would be the difference? We're going to talk about this. It's coming up next on Arizona's News Station.
Arizona's News Station, KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
You're zipping along the 60 freeway, right? Possibly. Maybe you're going over the speed limit. You look up in your rearview mirror, you see the blinky lights. Uh-oh, it's 5-0. It's the po-po. You're getting pulled over, right? Well, there was a guy out on the 60 who was pulling people over and impersonating a police officer?
Yeah, this is what's going on.
Not real cops?
Not real cops. You got a guy who is dressing up as an officer, as if he belonged with the Mesa Police Department, nonetheless. He's got like a polo on. Not just that, though, but has a white SUV, which
a lot of them do,
right?
The GPS has them.
He's got the blue and red lights going, you know, on top of the car.
Lights in it.
All right.
Yeah.
Somebody comes behind you, they do that. What do? You pull over.
You pull over.
Here's the thing, though. This guy, 28-year-old Joshua Hillman, is not a police officer.
No.
Is not with Mesa Police. And pulled somebody over in front of, hello, real cop?
Yeah.
Yeah. DPS Sergeant Brandon Powell was on the US 60 near Lindsay Road. He saw the SUV, traffic stop. Right?
Yeah.
Noticed the light, so on, so forth. Thought it was an unmarked car. Okay.
Sure.
And what do police officers do? When you have a traffic stop like that, you don't have just one cop, right? You've got like two or
three.
They always pull over to assist.
Yeah.
Did that. And noticed that the driver, the fake cop, didn't have a gun in his waist, was wearing a shirt with the letters Mesa Police on a gold badge.
Yeah. Like he had made.
Yeah. Not law enforcement. He'd stop the passenger because the car cut him off.
So, pretending to be a cop, impersonating a police officer, conducting traffic stops along the 60 while pretending to be a member of the Mesa Police Department, it does bring into question, and Pamela kind of gets into that bigger question about, what can you trust these days? Like, every single day we have another story about something. You know, can't trust that anymore.
Well, I mean, this is a one-off. It's not like we have a bunch of people pulling, you know, putting on fake badges and pulling people over on Valley freeways. But yeah, I think it does lend itself to that discussion, a bigger discussion of what can you trust these days? You know, we talked to Ken Colburn with Data Doctors a few weeks back, and we were talking about robocalls and like the scams.
All the scams.
That come across your phone. And he estimated by the end of this year, Half of the phone calls coming to your phone are going to be robocalls, the potential scams. You can't believe them. But people do believe them. They believe that their loved one is kidnapped and they've got to pay a ransom.
Yeah, or they're in jail and they need to wire them money. Or it's the IRS calling and if you have to send them an Amazon gift card or else they're going to arrest you. Like, people fall for this.
So you have fake cop.
Yeah.
You have fake scams. You have the Washington Post that has now clocked their estimate of the number of times the president of the United States has lied at like 10,000 since he took office. And you also have other stories out there that are quite concerning.
Yeah.
They're called deep fakes. Now, I don't expect people to know what that word means, but it is technology out there that allows you to manipulate audio and video and make people say things that they're not really saying. Like, imagine taking a video of President Obama and making him say something that he didn't really say.
But it's done so well.
You can't tell the difference.
That looking at it, you're like, well, it's obviously said. I saw it with my own two eyes. You just said it.
Exactly. So it's...
I mean, but technology has gotten to the point where that can happen. They could take an existing video and change... Not just the audio, Pamela, but change the way the lips move, and so it does. It looks real,
and that's why you
gotta question everything these days.
Exactly, you have all of these institutions that are trying to develop some sort of software that can spot and stop these deep fakes before they hit the internet. Because again, we've got a presidential election coming up, right?
Good argument there.
And I mean, this could destroy the whole idea of truth. What is real? What is fake? What is true? I didn't find myself asking that question 5-6 years ago.
Well, and I think here's the problem. With a little bit of homework, you could find out what's real and what's fake. With a little bit of due diligence, you can find out what's real and fake. Going back even to the police, if you're being pulled over and you don't know if it's a cop, you can dial 911 and say, I'm being pulled over. Is this a real police officer? Right? There's ways you can do it. And with videos you see or things you see on the internet, you can find out if they're real or fake. How many people do that? As evidenced by look at your Facebook feed and see all the stupid crap people share that is just provably false.
And we have the stories even here locally of the fake doctors.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
remember that one?
Yeah, wow.
Oh, all right. What can you trust? Well, you can trust Bruce and I. Yeah. Download the Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes Show podcast. Subscribe on your iPhone or Android. That podcast this week is brought to you by NovoCure.
We've got a check of the headlines on the way. Bob's on top of all that. And how are our brains changing? How is that cell phone in your hand, in your pocket, in the cup holder in front of you, hopefully, if you're driving? How's it changing the way your brain works? Scientists right now have more questions than answers. We'll tell you what those questions are coming up next on Arizona's News Station.